Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Happy New Year, Tom. Our first time working together in 2024.
Happy New Year to you as well.
Get out the coverings for the plants because, whoa, mid-20s?
By Sunday,
yeah,
overnight, yeah.
I'm not looking forward to that. Anyway, welcome to the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition, even though it feels like a Tuesday because we were off on Monday. It's Wednesday, January 3rd, 2024. Yesterday was the launch of year 14. That was our kind of anniversary show. So I guess this we're still in the anniversary week of the Buckmaster Show, 14th year, then my 36th year in the Tucson media. We are in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. And our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Once a month, we visit with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek, Democrat representing the 6th Ward in the city of Tucson. Councilman, Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, and you live in the area where you might get a little snow in a couple of days, so you should be
dreading
the cold because it'll come with a nice white blanket.
Yeah, we could get a little snow. So anyway, how was your New Year's?
It was good, you know, especially watching Michigan win over Alabama. It was very good considering that. I was born in Ann Arbor, and it's nice to see them actually doing well. So good things coming.
So I looked at your weekly newsletter, and I encourage everybody in Ward 6. Is that just go to everyone in Ward 6 if you've got their email or what?
I've got people all over the county actually receiving it.
Yeah, well, I always enjoy it because it's very comprehensive about what some of the issues you think are at the top of the agenda, and we kind of briefly touched on this in our visit in December. You really do feel that the water sustainability issue is the issue for 2024. I think I read that right.
Oh, you read it exactly correctly. The we're in a desert, and we got lucky. We regionally, and by that I mean all of the 7 basin states that have a straw sticking in the Colorado River right now, we all got lucky because the Rockies had an excessively large snowpack last fall. And the result is that the anticipated levels of Lake Mead, which is our source for Colorado River water, and Lake Powell were higher than what were expected. That's the good news. The not so great news is that both of them are still over half empty compared to what their high water marks have been. And so we, at the beginning of last year, at the beginning of 23, that sounds weird to say, but at the beginning of 23, we were expecting to be in what's called a Tier 2 drought right now, and that would have required significant reductions in allocations for not just Tucson and municipalities, but all the users of the Colorado River. That's agriculture, that's industrial, that's some of the tribes, that's all this, that being throughout all of the 7 states. Because of the snowpack, we got a temporary reprieve, and the operative word is temporary. This is clearly not going to last. We have projections right now based on climate scientists who work at the National Weather Bureau, and they track these things. We're expecting an El Nino spring, which means a little bit extra precipitation, and we're going to see some of that in the next few days. But if you extend that throughout the course of the year, it's expected that we're going to have a hot and dry 2024. So let's not be deceived by what happens over the weekend and think, okay, we're out of the woods now, and that we can just start letting the tap run and just use water like there's no tomorrow, because that's not the case. And so that's half of the issue. The half of the issue is the quantity. The other half of the issue, though, is the quality of the water, and that we've spoken before about the PFAS contamination, PFAS toxin that's in our water system that has caused us to have to shut down 20 to 22, lose track of the number, water production wells, largely in Midtown, but also on some of the southwest side, where we already had contaminants, TCE and 1,4-dioxane, and other contaminants. So we're in a situation now where it's kind of the perfect storm of you better watch it kind of news, because once we get deeper into the year and the Bureau of Reclamation takes a look at what's happening with the water levels in Lakes Mead and Powell, which is to say the Colorado River, then we may be back in a Tier 2 drought declaration. We may start seeing our allocations of the Colorado River reduced, which means that sooner rather than later, we may be relying on the groundwater sources that right now we're shutting down wells because of the PFAS contamination. So this all plays together. We are in litigation right now against 3M, which is a manufacturer of a product that is largely responsible for the contamination that we're seeing, the PFAS contamination. We are also in direct talks with the Department of Defense, and our federal delegation has earmarked some money for remediation that's still tied up in federal bills. I mean, this money is, you know, it's moving at the pace of government to get here. And so we do have a good working relationship, a good fluid relationship with the Arizona State Department of Environmental Quality, and they've helped with several million dollars to help address some of the treatment facilities that we're going to need to get up and running. But it's not going to be anywhere near enough, Bill. We have already got over $50 million invested in this just simply through Tucson Water. For the city of Tucson alone, this is going to go way north of $100 million in terms of the cost of putting in treatment plants and the long-term obligation for maintaining. So, long-winded answer, sorry for that, but it is the number one, number two, and number three issues that we've got to face as a region, not just Tucson, but the entire seven basin state region that's relying on the Colorado River for our primary water source.
There are some residents now suing the city of Tucson over a homeless camp. The city attorney has said there's no standing here, that these are three residents of the Navajo Wash area. They are suing the city. They do not like the fact that they say the city has allowed homeless people to camp in their neighborhood.
So this neighborhood is at approximately Fort Lowell and Mountain, and there's a wash that runs through that area, and on the banks of the wash, several tents and, you know, other forms of encampment were set up. The neighbors went in and they chopped down a bunch of trees to try and eliminate the cover for the homeless camps, and the city did move them out eventually. As to the lawsuit, I don't know. We'll let the courts figure that one out. I do have feelings about the way the city is approaching the homeless situation. I am in disagreement with some of the policies we have in place. One is the way we assign tiers to a camp. If it's a Tier 1 camp, it's simply there's a mess there, we go clean it up. There are no people around. If it's a Tier 2 camp, it's what was happening at Navajo Wash. It's an encampment. There are no overt signs of criminal activity, and so we let the camp stay and monitor it, offering people services and make sure it's relatively clean. Tier 3 camp is if there is criminal activity, we move it out. I would much prefer that the city identify areas around the community, not next to residential areas, not next to businesses, where we are going to sanction camps, where we allow a certain number, and other cities have done this. Salt Lake City has done it. Denver has done it. Other cities are doing it. Sacramento has done it, where you allow either, you know, pick a number, 50 tents, just to pick a number out of the air. Nothing like what was happening up in Phoenix, where the zone was identified in as several city blocks in downtown. And their residents and businesses did sue the city of Phoenix, and they sued them successfully because the city had simply let that get out of control.
Yeah.
If we set up controlled areas, and you're getting ready for the break, so I'll just finish with this. If we set up controlled areas, moderately sized that are monitored by social service agencies, a water source, and porta-johns, and the police, then we can control this better than simply squeezing the balloon and moving homeless people from area to area where you lose track of them.
Well, it makes sense to me. Designated homeless areas for the encampments. Is there any other, are you a lone wolf on this? Is there any other, do you feel there's any other feeling on council that maybe we need to reevaluate the tier system, Steve Kasachek?
So the mayor is opposed primarily because of, as I understand it, the optics of they say it's degrading to people, and my answer to that is look at what's happening now. They're already living in tents. They're living under bridges. They're living in alleys. Let's identify areas where we can provide them social services. We can provide them with the dignity of a water source and a porta-john and police protection. So I'm in fundamental disagreement with most of the council. I believe Kevin Dahl would be supportive of identifying areas, but so far he and I are the only two who have stepped forward with this idea.
Well, I like the idea. So anyway, we will take the break. Let's talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona and the team, Steve, the owner, and his family, what a great holiday season they had. They want me to convey to you, our listeners, thank you very much. Not only all the pies at Thanksgiving and Christmas, but a ton of Danish Kringles, because they're home of the Danish Kringle anyway, and they do a great job up there. Congratulations to that family for running a great business there at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Open right now for lunch as we get into 2024. Of course, we'll be talking about the next holiday, which will be coming up, of course, is Valentine's Day that the team at Mona's kind of points to, but there'll be plenty of time to talk about that. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. Steve Kasachek joins me for segment number two on the Buckmaster Show right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
That's me, Bill Buckmaster, with you, midweek edition, first week of a new year, a very welcome new year for yours truly. And it is our anniversary week, very proud of all of our great sponsors and, of course, the listeners. It was an idea I had after 22 years on Channel 6 doing Arizona Illustrated. I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll just not have to worry about the makeup being applied every night, especially with digital. Yeah, digital's not kind to those of us aging anchor people. Had an idea, took it, owning the radio show, and we've done pretty darn well. I'm very proud of what we've accomplished, Steve Kasachek. So, you know, here we are.
I think I'm always amazed at the loyalty of your sponsors,
yeah,
and also the diversity of the sponsors. I mean, everything you've got Monas, you've got RTA, you've got the Zocalos. I mean, these are not the same, you know, not one, you know, one trick pony. And so congratulations to you on really the breadth of who you represent and the fact that they've stuck with you for years, literally for years.
Yeah, years. And I'm so honored that they have long-term relationships I've built with these folks, including Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, which sponsors all of our telephone interviews, and Green Things and Zocalo Village has the naming rights when we're on the air here during the noon hour at KVOI. So congratulations to them and all of their success as well. And to you, Steve Kasachek, the plastics program, you had an idea, and it gelled, and it's done very well in 2023, and we're hoping for a great year in 2024.
Well, it's really crazy. It's like asking, when people ask me if I'm glad I started this, it's sort of like asking a guy with a tiger by the tail if he likes cats. You know, this is really a popular program. It's crazy. We started in August of 22 with what we at that time called a pilot program. We were just testing the water to see if the community was going to support gathering up their non-recyclable plastic and bringing it over to the ward office and making that extra trip instead of just throwing it away. We thought gathering 20 tons was going to be a big number, and we're talking about 20 tons of plastic, of not 20 tons of concrete, but of candy wrappers and Coke bottles and things like that. And before the end of the year, we had well over 35 tons. That convinced not only the city manager and our environmental services folks, but the rest of the council and also the company Bifusion, that Tucson was worth taking a serious look at. In 23, we finalized the terms of a service agreement with Bifusion. Bifusion is the company. They're located right now in Gardena, California. They're the company that makes the blocks. They're construction-grade blocks that are formed out of the plastic that we're collecting. Bifusion, now we have a service agreement in place with them. They will be relocating to Tucson. Not relocating. They're going to open up a second operation in Tucson. But once we get our facility opened here, Tucson will be the only city literally on the planet that is scaled up in operation to the extent that we have. And I said that we were about 35 tons at the end of 22. We're bumping 200 tons of plastic collected now. And if you stood by the collection bin, by the Ward 6 office for half an hour, I promise you 10 cars would drive up. It's like a revolving door over there. And the conversations I have with people invariably are things such as, finally, we've got something to do with this stuff. It's I can't believe how little trash I'm taking out to the curb now. And you think back through the holiday season, and people with kids especially, all the packaging that toys and things come in is plastic.
Yeah.
You try and get through a grocery store without using plastic. Everything is packaged in it. So it's not a bad product. It's just that we don't manage it well. And so what we're doing is we're providing them people the opportunity to participate in a program where we're managing it well. If you Google Pacific Garbage Patch, sadly, it'll pop right up on your screen. It is where millions of metric tons of plastic, because of the currents, are flowing out in the Pacific Ocean. And it's killing marine wildlife. It's polluting our beaches and other habitat. And that is a result of our simply not managing the product well. And I will give Bifusion credit for partnering with a company called Ocean Voyages. It is a nonprofit, and they go out periodically from time to time and mine the plastic in the Pacific Garbage Patch, and they come back with hundreds of tons of the stuff every time they go out. So I'm really happy that the community, and credit to the community primarily, because if the public had not stepped up and said, yes, I will A, collect it in my home, and B, make a special trip over to the ward office and drop it off, if they hadn't been willing to do that, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. So all the credit goes to the public for wanting to participate. And you know, the old axiom, think globally and act locally, that's exactly what we're doing. And it's the public, and it's people who live outside in the county. I've got people driving down from Mount Lemmon, from Oral Valley, from up from Green Valley. So it's not just City of Tucson residents who are participating in this, and that makes it even that much more gratifying to see that regionally there's a demand for this. And once we get Bifusion up and running here in Tucson, we'll be reaching out to the county and get the county folks involved as well.
What are you hearing about the tourism season? We're now beginning prime time for tourism. What are you hearing about tourism 2024?
I'm hearing that it's good. I'm hearing that we're virtually back to where things were pre-COVID, which is, I guess, our dividing line in history now, pre and post COVID, and things dropped off the edge of the earth once, you know, 2020, 2021, 2022, but we're back there now. I get regular updates from Visit Tucson, and they include the occupancy rates for our hotels and the revenue per vacancy, and they're pretty much back to where they were pre-COVID. So it's all looking good. You remember back in 2020, when about this time of year, we were canceling the Gem Show, we were canceling the book festival, we were canceling the Fourth Avenue Street Fair, we were canceling basketball season. You know, so it's a whole new day now, and we're back to kind of good times. Now, I do want to throw the caveat in. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but the COVID numbers, the RSV numbers, and the flu numbers in Pima County in the state of Arizona, they're on the increase. And so there are vaccines available for all three of those. People really need to take a serious assessment, do a personal assessment as to your own vulnerability and the kinds of activities you participate in as to whether or not you should go out and get that protective vaccine for flu, RSV, and or COVID.
I did all three. I did the trivecta.
How did it affect you? Were you okay?
There was no problem at all with the flu vaccine. The COVID, I always have a little bit of a reaction, a little bit of flu-like symptoms, a little temperature, and a little bit with the RSV. But, hey, it's worth it. You're right. The numbers have been going up, and especially the RSV is a real problem.
Yeah. And so you spent a couple of days feeling a little bit punky. It's a whole lot better than being on a respirator in the ER.
Yes, it is. Any thoughts here as we close out? How are you feeling about 2024 in the city of Tucson?
Except that's a ventilator, not a respirator.
There you go. Ventilator, of course.
2024. We have some challenges budgetarily that we can't take our eye off the ball. I mentioned COVID during the COVID years, we were getting a serious influx of federal dollars through the CARES money and ARPA dollars. Those days are over as well. And so we're expected legitimately to be standing on our own two economic feet right now. And so we're beyond the time where we can rely on federal dollars to keep us afloat. So the budget is going to be a serious conversation that we have about how do we kind of reform our thoughts back to what it was pre-COVID, where we're not overspending in areas that we really have no business in, but we're keeping our eye on the ball in terms of police, roads, fire, and parks, which are our charter-driven responsibilities. So that'll be one thing that we have to keep an eye on. We already talked about water, which is going to be an ongoing issue for the region. And I just want to throw a quick kudo out to our, because I mentioned parks, to our Parks Department, because they're doing some really good things with the Prop 407 money. And since you mentioned 2024, we have multiple capital projects that people just love in our parks all over the community, that they're seeing, you know, ramadas going up and walking paths and dog parks and splash pads. And that's as a result of the Prop 407 dollars that that are being infused as a result of the voter-approved proposition. And finally, on parks, my wife took our grandkids and my daughter to the World of Play out at Reed Park Zoo over the weekend.
Yes.
And they absolutely loved it. And so if you've got kids and or grandkids, check out the Reed Park Zoo World of Play, because that is absolutely a great time for kids.
We love Reed Park Zoo. Thank you very much, Steve Kasachek. Happy New Year to you.
You too, Bill. Take care.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
I've known the Chavez family for 35 years, and thanks to Chavez in 67, you won't find any soft, saggy cushions at the Buckmaster Bungalow. Chavez in 67 can restuff your cushions with new, firm, high-density foam. What a difference that makes. They also offer full upholstery services. Give them a call at 520-795-8032 or check out the website chavezin67.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Week, and this is our anniversary week. I've been talking a little bit about it. This is the this week marks the start of the 14th year of my radio program after the 22 years over at Channel 6 on Arizona Illustrated. I'm just so proud of the kind of guests we bring in. That's part of my pledge, my five-point pledge that you can find at buckmastershow.com. And one of the tenets of the five-point program is to bring quality guests to the Tucson listening audience. And one of them is Dr. Albrecht Clausen, who will be with me in a moment. But first, I want to talk about one of our great sponsors, Green Things. Green Things and their sister business, Zocalo Village. We love Green Things. They've got everything you need for the garden. And, of course, Zocalo Village, the beautiful pottery. Much of it is imported. A lot of Talavera pottery. They even have some pottery from the island of Crete in Greece. They really go out of their way to make sure Tucson has a fabulous selection of pottery. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Their website, greenthingsaz.com, and Zocalo Village, the sister business, also on site, zocalovillage.com. They're open daily, so check it out. And as I mentioned, Dr. Albrecht Clausen is with us, renowned scholar of medieval history. Dr. Clausen, a University of Arizona Distinguished Professor of German Studies. He's published more than 100 scholarly books and hundreds of articles and book reviews, along with, I think he just published your recent a full dozen now volumes of poetry, correct? Or
that's right.
Yeah. You had a recent book about poetry, four volumes of essays and textbooks, including a handbook of medieval studies. He's won many honors. He is the Grand Knight Commander of the Most Noble Order of the Three Lions, recognition of outstanding service to German studies. He's the editor-in-chief of the International Journal. It is titled Humanities, and he has many books. Most recently, Wisdom from the Middle Ages, The Secret in Medieval Literature, Alternative Worlds in the Middle Ages. One of his books, we talked about it, was having to do with freedom and slavery, just won a literary award. We'll find out about that in a minute, but I also want to mention he is a Fulbright scholar. In the fall of 2022, he was over in Cairo in Egypt, spent a semester there. Wishing you a very happy new year, Professor. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Bill. Always a pleasure to be here, and I feel very honored that what you said before, that you tried to bring in qualified people.
Qualified guests, and you're certainly fit in that category, because that is one of the five tenets of what I call the Buckmaster Show Pledge. And people can see that on my website at buckmastershow.com. We talked about the book about freedom and slavery, and that has won a literary award. Tell us about that.
Well, a literary award is maybe not quite the right term, because it's not a literary book, but there is a literary encyclopedia in England. It's online, and I've contributed, 30, 40 different entries on various poets, periods, cultural phenomena, and they give a prize for scholarly books. And I was the winner of the prize for this year, but for my book from 2022. That's a great honor, really, I must say.
What was the theme of the book?
Well, I looked at the topic no one really else would have looked at, namely freedom. We normally don't think about freedom as something also aspired for in the Middle Ages, because we think about freedom, let's say, Enlightenment, American Revolution, you know, modern democracy, that's freedom. But already in the Middle Ages, you have many different peoples, plural, really, like the Icelanders, who wanted to be free. They had their own parliament. They voted Christianity in the year 1000. the Pomeranians and the Frisians and many other smaller groups. It's not easy to find, but I found enough to really confirm. You know, think about the Magna Carta, for example, the beginning of parliamentarism in England, 1215, and so forth. So I amassed a lot of body of a great body of texts addressing the notion of freedom, fear of imprisonment, the fact of imprisonment, and also a really wide spectrum of slavery. So that existed already in the Middle Ages, was by Christian merchants, by Muslim merchants, by Jewish merchants. They all traded in people. It's just incredible.
So. You know, I've been to Iceland. They have the oldest parliament, I believe, the oldest ongoing parliament in the world. And you mentioned that they were really ahead of the game, weren't they?
Well, they kind of fled, let's say. They fled from the Norwegian kingship. There were a lot of heavy disagreement. And so they basically, the farmers, left and settled in completely uncharted territory. So that's really the beginning of Iceland. And until today, you have seen it. It's a very remote place. But these were bold people, and then they settled, and they became sort of the part of the larger culture of the Vikings as well.
It's a fascinating place, and they're a very literate society. They love books. I think per capita they may have the highest literacy rate in the world. They give books at Christmas. That's part of the whole tradition. Real interesting visit. If folks have not been to Iceland, I enjoyed it very much. Okay, Professor, we have a world that is just a mess. We've got two world, I want a world war type events going on. And here you are talking about, you know, humanities. Where does humanities fit in a world that is really gone crazy?
Well, first of all, I totally agree with you. We have a horrible situation with, I would say, really nefarious forces trying to overthrow their enemies. On the one hand, it's Russia under Putin, who is really an absolute dictator. He wants to establish the Tsar Empire again. And I firmly believe if we don't help Ukraine defend itself against the Russians, then ultimately it will be Western Europe, and then ultimately even America will be threatened. So we do
kind of the old domino effect.
It
you
is
think.
Very much so. Huh. This is the last line of defense.
Okay.
The situation in Israel and Gaza is very complicated.
Yes.
And we better don't get into this too much. It's a very nasty situation, horrible situation with lots and lots of people dying on both sides.
No easy solution.
No, absolutely not.
You know.
So what do we do? How do we come in as scholars of the humanities? And I think the answer is fairly simple and very powerful, because the scientists, they work with the material dimension. We in the humanities work with the spiritual dimension, you know, literary texts, poems, including music and philosophy and other things. But primarily, let's say, books, as you mentioned. And in books, we find the human spirit. So in face of all the horrible things, if there's not even the spirit, then we lose everything. So the humanities are kind of the anchor hold that keeps the human ship afloat through the darkest hours. Let me give you a concrete example.
Give me an example.
Very powerful example. We had the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it was the worst experience in human history, really. But for many people who survived, it was possible because they preserved their human spirit. There were people who wrote poetry, people who were forced to play a music instrument, and it was a horrible situation. But in the heart of it all, let's say even after the Second World War, reflecting upon that monstrous events. If we don't do that, if we don't face it head on.
So you're saying even in the darkest moment, which certainly I would think the Holocaust qualifies as, as if not the most darkest moment in human history, you say there can be light.
Must be light. And let's say there's hope even for Israel and Gaza, because there are certainly individuals on both sides who still write poetry and who would like to have peace. We need to support those people. But that also entails that certain groups stop fighting, that certain groups stop stealing land from the other side. It needs also that both sides acknowledge each other. This is what literature is all about, communication. How do you pay respect? How do you live with another person? Literature is filled with negative examples. Mm-hmm. And we see lots of negative consequences of miscommunication, of revenge, of hatred, all that what we witness right now. But the literary text provides us with a mirror, a lens, to look more deeply into the little flame. I mean, I admit right now it's a very small flame.
Yeah.
But it is a flame. It's a pilot light mm-hmm. that will start your heating again, if you see the metaphor, you know, for gas.
I do. I mean, you are one of the most positive people I know. And you're also a very stoic person. You do believe in it is what it is and out of the consequences of bad things. And we've talked about this before. There are good things that happen.
I would actually go one step further, that there is nothing really bad happening. Ultimately, everything that is bad for us in our life, even the worst things, you can see there is a silver lining. It has a certain function. And we have talked lots of times about it. You break your foot, you fall down, you lose something. That always triggers a thought pattern in you, and you need to change your life.
Mm-hmm.
So there is always a very significant moment. And so I think what happens right now, let's say Ukraine, I'm proud of the Ukrainian people. Uh-huh. I see them fighting for their freedom mm-hmm. and they do really heroic work against an evil force. So that is wonderful. And it will bring all those people, millions of people, into the Western fold. Will bring them freedom and will bring them better and stronger democracy. So you see, I'm filled actually with hope for that. And I think this war is very good in a way, in an abstract sense, because it suddenly changes the entire Eastern European front and Russia's imperialistic goals. So the humanities, by pushing the positive and pointing out what is really valuable, what counts in human life. I mean, when you write poetry, when I write my haikus, when I write a scholarly article, that is the hope that I can reach out to other people.
Did you do a haiku today?
Not today.
But you try to do one.
You know, I like to combine writing haikus with photos. Mm-hmm. And right now, you know, we are in the midst of winter. It's kind of hard. I had a wonderful time in December. I was in Hawaii. And so I took lots of wonderful photos, and I could see in that peaceful world of islands in the midst of the huge Pacific Ocean, the beauty of nature. And I discovered the tiniest little things, let's say a little plant growing out of cracks in the wall. That gives me hope.
You know? All right. Well, I'm more with Dr. Albrecht Klassen. We always enjoy his company here on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back with some more thoughts.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. The Buckmaster Show anniversary week here. We're into year 14 of our daily radio program here on KVOI. Of course, that we have the live listening at buckmastershow.com or KVOI, and we have all of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Dr. Albrecht Clausen, a regular guest, trying to bring him in every 4 to 6 weeks, renowned scholar of medieval history and University of Arizona Distinguished Professor of German Studies and most recently Fulbright Scholar. I was just thinking, you know, we're talking about the world is a mess. There's just so much foolishness, too. On the way over, you could have been the victim of road rage.
Absolutely. So easy.
Easy. In this town?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, almost something like that happened to me.
Really?
I was looking for a place, I think it was Saturday, and it was in the evening. I wasn't quite sure where I was going, so I realized I had to take a U-turn, when suddenly a man who had walked there approached me in a fairly aggressive way, and then I opened the window. I wasn't quite sure what he wanted, and then he attacked me verbally.
What?
Yeah, because I was maybe had spun around the U-turn, and so he, whatever. And what did I do?
Yeah.
I just humbly said, I am sorry.
Uh-huh. Did that diffuse
completely
the situation?
Diffused it completely.
Wow.
He was fine. I was fine. And so sometimes, and road rage.
Yeah.
You know, that happens so easily. But that's where the humanities come in. We are trying to teach people humbleness, maybe humility. I'm not that important. I mean, we also can talk about the administration. I don't want to get into politics,
yeah,
you know.
Into the U of A.
But, yeah, but, you know, sometimes...
their financial troubles.
Where's the humility? You know, they're pumping themselves up more and more, whether it's the U.S. government, whether it's whatever, the state government. There are more and more administrators, and they're probably important to some extent, but I think it's the pompousness.
Yeah.
And so we're looking at, let's say, literary texts. And coming back to what I read, I'm sort of authorized to say, really, literary texts from the past, and they often address human foolishness.
Really?
In many different ways. Most famously is Sebastian Brandt, a humanist who wrote in 1494, so just 2 years after Columbus had discovered America, quote-unquote discovered, The Ship of Fools. And he puts everyone on that ship, including professors, students, medical doctors, priests, monks, kings, and so forth, and it kind of makes fun of everyone. And I think this became a very popular work in Latin and then in German translation, English translation. And then there are many other works that reflected in the 16th and 17th centuries human foolishness. So we are supposed to laugh about it, but what are we doing with this? It should really give us a sense of humbleness, because I would like to say, I'm the very first to say, I am rather foolish in certain ways.
Uh-huh.
I have my own shortcomings.
Are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous what I do sometimes. And yeah, but that's what human life is all about.
Well, it's not foolish to drive over to Silver City and enjoy one of our great sponsors. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. It's a beautiful area. The Gila National Wilderness is there. You know, a good time of year, actually. Just bundle up, do some hiking. That's not a problem. Check it out. Silver City, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out .org, is their website. You'll be tempted by the things to do and great places to stay. And if you like New Mexican cuisine, where the question always is, do you want red or do you want green for your chili, check out Silver City. So, you know, we all have foolishness is part of the human characteristic, part of the human, it's in our DNA.
Unfortunately, because we are so selfish and we're so silly
yes.
in many different ways.
Yeah.
But we also already have talked in the previous sessions about the seven deadly sins.
Yes.
We are liable to, you know, uh-huh. anger, lust, sloth.
Artifice, is that one of them?
No.
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 Okay.
No. But envy, greed, gluttony, sloth, lust, anger. And pride.
Ooh,
pride.
Ooh,
pride.
Wow.
We are so prideful. And that is since the 5th century.
Uh-huh.
And it comes through in lots and lots of literary texts. And basically, that's what I try to approach. Whatever text I'm reading with my students, sort of alerting them
uh-huh.
to those issues.
Uh-huh.
And kind of putting a mirror up to them. So medieval literature plays a huge role in that. It's far enough away from us so that we don't think, well, it's us, and so you resist. It's far enough away so you could think, well, that's far away, it doesn't concern me. But then you read it through and suddenly you realize, oh my God, that's really me.
Yeah.
It's the greed in me. It's a lust in me. It's the anger and pride in me. And that's then kind of awakening.
And the seven deadly sins have been illustrated in Middle
East.
It's been a very popular subject,
very,
right?
Yeah. You know, Peter Bruegel, for example, very, very famous. And, you know, the church, you might condemn the church, reject your church, I mean the Catholic Church,
uh-huh.
but it's absolutely correct in that regard. It's basic human psychology.
Yes. All right. In the remaining few seconds, are you one that makes some kind of a resolution or... or what?
There are two things I do not do in my life. A, I don't have a bucket list that
yeah.
I have to see. And B, I don't make any resolutions because I live right now. I try to do the best right now. I try to be nice right now. I try to show my love right now to whomever I love. And I try to do my best work right now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, now.
Sounds very Buddhist.
In a way, if
yeah.
you will.
Live yeah. for the moment, right?
Yeah. Live. I mean, I try also to avoid stress in the future.
Good point. Good
oh,
point.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
You know, my desk is empty.
Is
it's
it?
Always
good.
Done. It's
good.
Always
good.
Done. I have nothing
good.
Waiting for
good.
Me.
Good. Perfect. Dr. Albrecht Clausen, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, Bill. Thank
that,
you.
That will do it for the Buckmaster Show. Back with you in about 23 hours. We will do it again on a Thursday afternoon. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.